And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 146. My name is Tom Harris, and we're coming at you from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, where it's snowing. Yep, April 14th, and it is snowing. Will this winter never end? Well, I think the good thing about it, I don't think that the snow is going to stick. I mean, we've got kind of a dusting of it right now, but I don't think it's going to last, especially if it's supposed to get warmer tomorrow. And yeah, it's just, on top of everything else, now we have more snow. Anyway, in other news, they have arrived. Yes, indeed. My exhibitor passes for C2E2. Have arrived with about 2 weeks to go before the show, and it's getting close. It's getting frighteningly close. I am so not ready. I have not achieved everything that I intended to achieve before C2E2, and I have only got a couple of weeks to go. I've got a sign to make. I got business cards to do. Oh, it's going to be a mess. It's all bits and pieces here, folks, as my good friend Chris would say. Anyway, so if you're going to be around Chicago weekend of the 25th, you should stop by McCormick Place for C2E2, the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo. We'll have another message about C2E2 a little bit later in the show. But we actually have an issue of Thor, God of Thunder, to cover. Yes, we are continuing to cover The Accursed. And so, without any further ado, let's go ahead and move along to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
Indeed, and as promised, this week we are covering Thor, God of Thunder, number 15. This issue has a cover date of January of 2014, retailed for $3.99. Cover art is by Ron Garney, and we see Thor surrounded by the other members of his party, the giant, the troll, the light elf, the dark elf, and the dwarf. Yeah, that's pretty much them. And they're just standing around staring out of the cover. And of course, we have on the splash page a little bit of recap like we had last time. But first we have the credits. Jason Aaron was the writer. Ron Garney is the artist. Ives Svartzina is the color artist. VC's Joe Sabino is the letterer. John Moisson is the assistant editor. Lauren Sankovich is the editor. Axel Alonzo is the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada is the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. And Alan Fine is the executive producer. And we get a little bit of exposition. Dread Malekith roams free, his wild hunt spilling dark elf blood across the nine realms. Alliances have been forged in Nidavellir, land of the dwarves. The queen of all Svartalfheim seeks refuge. The Congress of Worlds has assembled a league of realms, a warrior of each world, to see to Malekith's end. A fractured group of fractured men, they arrive too late to save the elfin queen. Malekith has fled, but true unrest lies within. The League could shatter in the face of their defeat, save for the mighty Thor. The Accursed, Part 3 of 5. Bury My Heart in Jotunheim. And we open up in the story here. We find that our party of intrepid heroes is hanging around in Alfheim, the realm of the elves. And there's some shit here that I hate, and we'll talk about that later on. But we have this typical fairy tale kingdom, and everything is rainbows and lollipops, literally, and candy canes, and yeah. Alfheim, realm of the elves. Ice elves and spice elves, air elves in their wondrous flying machines, sea elves in their coral castles along Hummingbird Bay, elves of the Vale with their herds of wild corns, moon elves aglow with firefly wine. Together they form the kingdom of the light elves, a kingdom of enchanted forests and natural champagne springs, and more gardens than there are stars. A kingdom of fairies and candy farmers, of mermaid lagoons and orchards the size of oceans. A place of peace and otherworldly wonder. An elvish paradise. In the foreground we see, looks like lollipops and purple flowers and big mushrooms and little fairies with wings kind of hanging around. Yet into every paradise a serpent must sometimes crawl. And we see some of Malekith's dog soldiers kind of riding through, and they're going, "Yeah, faster, you scum-licking dogs." And so yeah, I guess they are riding dogs. "It's all right. I think we lost him." So that apparently they're running away from Thor. "That one's no god. He's a bloody wild beast with a hammer is what he is. Did you see what he did to the poor Gutbeard brothers?" "Aye, and their fairy woods are no place for a dark elf to die. Let's find Malekith and the others and get that hell off this stinking..." And there's a thunk as Mjolnir strikes one of these dark elves in the back, knocks his dog over, and Thor tackles him. "How about the dark elf?" And he's like, "Ah!" And he tackles him to the ground. And Mjolnir is on top of the dark elf, and he can't get up because, of course, nobody can lift Mjolnir unless they're worthy. "Grrrg! Damn enchanted hammer! I can't get it off!" And we hear a voice from off panel, "Hello, elf! Elf, fall down!" And you see all these fairies and gnomes and stuff kind of approaching the dark elf. "Oh, no," he says.
"What matter? Elf can no lift hammer?"
"No, stay back, you wretched fairies, stay back."
"Elf too skinny. Elf must eat. We feed him."
And they're going to get fairy food and feed to the elf. Now, of course, the rules of fairyland and a lot of different pieces of literature, you eat fairy food and you are stuck there. I don't know if that counts for dark elves or not, because they're kind of already elves, aren't they? Thor is tackling the other elf, and he's like, "Tear him apart, dog. Eat his stupid, pretty face." And Thor punches the dog, and he goes, "Yip!" And with a croom, Thor punches up and then breaks a couple tree branches, though he doesn't kill the tree, so he can't really call him a tree murderer. And the dog is kind of laying there on the ground, and the dark elf gets up and is going to attack Thor with his sword.
"Come on then, swine of Asgard. Ratjaw, the dark elf, backs down from no one, be they man or god or..."
And there's a giant wharam coming from behind, and we see that it's indeed a wharam. Or actually one of Thor's goats, bucks him from behind, sends the dark elf flying. Thor's like, "Well done, tooth gnasher. No eating this one. You don't know where he's been." And you see the fairies have attacked the other dark elf, and they're stuffing him full of fairy food.
"More food for our elf friend. More food."
And he's just jamming him with all this magical food and stuff. And we see the dark elf woman, Lady Wazira, is attacking the dark elf soldier, and he's trying to kill her with a sword, but the sword comes up against her wooden arm. You remember she created this magical wooden arm for herself last issue, and it doesn't seem to be getting anywhere. And she smashes his face in with a splunch and rips out all this green goop where his face used to be. And Thor comes up and says, "Lady Wazira, it appears you've recovered quite nicely from the loss of your arm."
"Better than this one's face will recover. Where's Malekith?"
"I lost him in the forest. No doubt he slipped away again like the black-hearted coward he is."
"He'll find he's missing some of his riders."
"He'll be missing more than that once I catch up to him."
"You ride well for a god."
"And you for a one-armed elf witch. Shall we?"
"Perhaps someday we shall. But first..."
They are heading off towards a shanty town deep in the Sugar Woods. Sugar Woods, yes. And they're kind of rejoining the rest of their group here. And they come across the elf knight who is from here. Thor's like, "Sir Ivory, we managed to save the refugees this time. And the invaders suffered most heavy losses. My own pistols did see to that. but Malekith the Accursed hath escaped us yet again.
Would not have happened, but Thor took dynamite away, so Screwbeard make do. Never kill elf with candy cane before.
And we hear a Yarg. The troll has picked up one of the one of the refugees and is going to smash him with his axe. And Thor's like, Ood, what in Odin's name are you doing?
We're here to fell dark elves, are we not?
Not those dark elves. Those are the refugees we're meant to protect.
So now I'm supposed to know one damn dark elf from another, am I? Should I bow and beg their leave before I split them open?
Just put him down.
You ask me. Instead of wasting time picking and choosing, we should wipe out the whole damn race and be done with it.
No one asked you, troll. No one ever will, says Wazira.
Bah! To hell with all gods and elves. This League of Realms is a farce.
And Ood goes storming off.
Don't listen to him.
He's right about the League, says Thor.
I know he's right, but you still shouldn't listen. We saved elves today. That's all that matters.
Malekith eluded us yet again, and remains intent on slaughtering his own people, so thousands more remain in danger. Thousands of dark elves scattered to the wind, hiding in small bands across all the nine realms. Don't they see that if they just band together?
Our queen is dead, and even when she was alive we were always a fractured people, consumed by tribal rivalries and ancient blood feuds. The Dark Elves will never stand together.
Much like our League of Realms, it seems, says Sir Ivory.
Aye, the dwarf hates me for taking away his explosives. The troll has always hated me, and the giant still hasn't spoken a word.
If it's any consolation, I have heretofore restrained myself from slaying the Dark Elf Witch. And I've had yet to make Lord Honeyguts eat his own pretty little pistols.
Enough, says Thor. If we can't make peace with one another, then we'll never bring peace to the realms.
Peace to the realms, says Sir Ivory. For time immemorial it has been the same. The giants hate the gods. Gods hate the elves. Elves hate the dwarves. Dwarves hate the giants. Everyone hates the trolls. How exactly do you propose to bring peace to the realms, or even to this league of yours?
Lord Thor?
You know Alfheim well, Sir Ivory.
Doth the wind know how to blow?
Good. I'll be needing directions.
Directions? To where?
To the nearest tavern, says Thor.
And we shift scenes to a tavern, and they're sitting at a table here, and we see Lady Wazira, and we see Sir Ivory, and we see Thor, and he's sitting at a table covered in glasses with frilly umbrellas sticking out of them, and kind of get a, you know, foo-foo drinks, and he's having a drinking contest with the giant. Wazira's like,
by the sacred swamps, I've never seen anything without gills consume that much liquid.
For Asgard, says Thor.
Methinks he's about to pop, like an overripe buttermelon.
Never shall the mighty Thor be felled by Helfrum. Over to you, then, my prodigiously bellied friend.
Another fistful of raw rubies, Screwbeard is betting on the mountain giant.
I'll take that bet, Sir Screwbeard. 9 bushels of the finest rum berries and brandywine apples, I will wager, all on the God of Thunder.
Thor's drinking and the giant's drinking, glug, glug, glug. And out of a giant, huge vat, it's like the size of a barrel.
Yes, drink 'em under table, Augi, son of Jotunheim. Screwbeard has seen you eat sausages bigger than this god.
And Augi burps and like that.
Ha, huh, Screwbeard thanks you for apples and berries. Lord Honey Snots, his goats and Nidaveller will eat fine as elf lords for many.
And then the giant falls over with a thoom. And he's like, what?
Stupid giant.
And the troll has had enough of this. He's like, bah, enough of this fruity elf swill. Bring me some goblin grog or boiled maggot mash.
The orphans of Alfheim thank you and your goats for the generous contribution, Sir Dwarf.
Yes, another round for all my friends, says Thor.
And for you as well, my lord,
says the alien-looking barkeep.
No, only air for me, and let us hope I can keep it down.
And Thor wanders outside.
Perhaps it is the rum and bitter gin talking, but she is a comely wench, is she not, for a dark elf at least?
Two fistfuls of diamonds to first who beds her.
I'd sooner see her dead, says the troll.
Five fistfuls of diamonds to the first who does that.
And Thor goes wandering outside, and Lady Wazira is following him out, and we see that it's a gingerbread house that they were drinking in, and there's a big sign that says Gingerbread Tavern on the outside. And she goes wandering off to find Thor. And Thor's sitting alone outside, and he's talking to himself, or apparently talking to himself.
My first memories of my father are ones of fear. I was terrified by the very sight of him. The giant gray beard and the massive crowned head, and the face that was always scowling, hands so huge they could throttle dragons, and had, I was convinced. As soon as I was able to totter around on my own, I would run and hide whenever I heard his great thudding steps coming through the halls, his voice booming like cannon fire. One of his guards would have to snag me in a net whenever the Allfather used to look upon his progeny, and when he bid me sit beside him at feasts, they'd have to chain me like a dog to a leg of his throne. Even as I grew older, I don't know that I ever overcame that fear. I just became better at hiding it. A hard god, my father, but one who would always move heaven and earth for his children, and did quite literally on many occasions. From Odin I learned to command. I learned the ways of the worlds and the godly arts of war. From my mother I learned everything else, from Freya, the mother who raised me. She was such the peacemaker. She could make even my brother and I friends again, mere moments after we'd very nearly murdered one another. From my brother I learned trickery and the power of the lie. And all I know of fighting and walking the path of hero I learned from you. Now who's he talking to? I don't know. But as I sit here now, none of those lessons ever seem equal to the challenge I face. It won't be fear or love or lies or even thunder that holds this league together and brings Malekith to justice. Or perhaps it must be all those lessons at once. I know not. I am too full of liquor and too empty of wisdom. What sayest thou, old friend? And you see now that he's actually talking to Mjolnir, and there's a rumble of thunder. That is what I thought you might say. And he's interrupted by Lady Wazira.
It's bad enough you've brought us to a tavern when we should be hunting Malekith. But now I catch you talking to your hammer. Forgive me, our godship, if I'm beginning to question not only your judgment, but my own for ever having agreed to follow you.
Look inside that gingerbread house and tell me what you see.
An unconscious giant, and three inebriated lesser beings making wagers about betting me.
A wager? I wasn't aware of any wager. How much are they?
Get to the point, Sir Godling, or I'll find Malekith on my own.
This is the first time since they met that our league hasn't been squabbling and threatening to kill one another. Now perhaps once they sober up they'll go back to the way they were. Or maybe, just maybe, there'll be far fewer wars if we'd all just learn to drink with one another now and then.
So now you've had your drink. What word from Asgard in the Congress? Where next do we ride? Thor?
Your people fear to ask for our help, m'lady. Every time they've done so, Malekith and his murderers have gotten there first. He's been watching us all this time, I fear. He can change his own face. I've seen it. His eyes could be anywhere.
You know where we're going next, and it frightens you.
Aye. But you're the one trembling. The drinking worked to calm the others, but not you.
Drinking doesn't make me calm. It makes me...
Yes. For you, I had other ways in mind.
And Thor grabs her and starts making out with her, and we see that they're being watched, and there's a dark elf, young dark elf woman, or I guess she's working at the bar or whatever, and there's a little purple fairy flying around, and the purple fairy says,
"You girl, what are you doing out here? The giant just buried half the bar in vomit. Get a shovel and get back to..."
And the dark elf woman reaches out and squishes the fairy with a purple squish sound effect.
My people are afraid. Good. They will run somewhere. They will figure no one will ever dare follow. And I wonder where that might be.
So I wonder if this dark elf woman is actually our good friend Malekith. Could be. So we switch scenes to Jotunheim, land of the giants. 3 days later, says the caption.
And you see all these giants lumbering around in a big muddy field. There's fighting going on here. And we get a little exposition here. Somewhere in the Brown Alps, where mud flows in great raging rivers, where the mire can swallow men whole, where dwell the mountain giants, and where they are used to watching things die. And they're all towering over the Dark Elves. Dark Elves are kind of scattering and running around.
Oh, best run faster than that, you elves. Run for your tiny little lives.
Run, he's found us, says the Dark Elves. The accursed has come.
And we learn that the Dark Elf refugees have been living among the mountain giants for weeks, hiding in the walls of their cabins like mice. And still, Malekith found them. We see Malekith, he's riding in, riding on his flying tiger. And we have his soldiers, they're riding their flying dogs. And Malekith's like, burn the old, flay the young, bring me the eyes of all who refuse to see. And they're attacking, and all of a sudden, Malekith's tiger is knocked out by a hammer. Very familiar-looking hammer. Strikes Malekith's tiger in the head with a croom and knocks him to the ground. And Malekith to the ground with it.
By all the bogs, do I hate that hammer. Bring me the blood of that god.
And a big battle's going on, and Lady Wazir is blasting people with his green magic, and we see the troll wading in with his axe, and the dwarf is there, and we have Sir Ivory shooting people with his guns. And then Thor's like, well, Lady Wazir,
my spells are in place. Malekith shall not magic himself to safety this time.
Then this is it, League of Realms. Let this be the day they remember us for. Let all nine worlds echo with our fury. Let Malekith know his reckoning has come.
And there's lots of fighting going on. Fight, fight, fight. And we get a caption here. Thor's words were lost in the roar of battle, the screaming of metal and the rending of flesh. And above it all, the booming laughter. And the giant silken down laughing as if,
oh, look at them go. Should we squish a few?
No, let's wait and squish whoever wins.
I'll bet an armload of whale bacon on the blue ones.
The others are a ragged-looking bunch. The blonde one with the hammer seems sort of familiar.
You see, the mountain giants are kind of enjoying what's going on, and one of them's like,
I'll be damned. What is that?
And they notice that the giant is fighting alongside the Asgardians and everything else, and he's got his sort of logs sharpened into points. Like he's like shooting pencils out of a bow and arrow. Well, they're really, really big pencils. And they land and they go, thoom, send the Dark Elf warriors and their dogs flying. And we have one of them saying,
by the wines of Gossamer, did you see that? His arrows fall like bombs.
Augie, wait, says Thor. Stay with us.
Someone say bombs.
And Malekith notices the giant approaching and he's like,
a valiant giant? Will wonders never cease? What next? A well-dressed dwarf? A troll who drinks in moderation? An intelligent human?
And Augie shoots an arrow at Malekith and just narrowly misses him with a whoom. And Malekith is climbing up to the top of the arrow, which is sticking out of the ground.
You're a quiet one, aren't you, Sir Giant? Let's see if we can't get a sound out of you.
And Malekith dives right at the giant and goes right into his mouth. And the giant grabs his throat. It's like choking on him. And he's like, Rrrr! The troll's like,
stones of hell, what is that?
The roar of a wounded giant, says Sir Ivory.
Augie,
says Thor. And they go find Augie, and he's kind of laying on the ground. And Wazir finds, over here. And he's like,
oh no. There's not a mark on him. Maybe he's only dazed.
Augie, for once in your life, speak. Tell us what happened.
And we get a few words out of Augie here.
I wasn't done listening yet.
And a sword comes sticking out of Augie's eye and going splack. And obviously Malekith is cutting his way out of Augie's head. And he ends up crawling out of Augie's eye socket. And Malekith's coming out.
Goodness me. For a giant, he had a remarkably tiny brain. I had to hack around forever just to find it.
Malekith, says Thor, you will never leave Jotunheim alive. So swears Thor.
And Sir Ivory is pulling Thor back and says, "Thor, wait. Take note of where we are now. This isn't the land of mountain giants."
"Yes. Perhaps you should listen to the light elf. Scumtongue, the horn."
And Scumtongue pulls out a big curly goat horn sort of thing and blows on it with a garoo. And we get a little bit of exposition. "There are many breeds of giant in Jotunheim. Mountain giants, storm giants, brine giants and their shanties made of smashed ships, man-eating lard giants, and back-winged shadow giants, and warrior she-giants with spears that touch the clouds. And since the beginning of time, there has always been one race of giants more fearsome than all the rest. Giants that they say even gods have learned to fear." And we hear footsteps coming, thoom, thoom. And Thor's like, "No." And we see these giant blue giants approaching, and they wearing this really ornate armor and body paint and furs. And Malekith is kind of standing in front of them and leading them. And he says to Thor,
"You appear to have lost your giant, Thor of Asgard. Well, as for me, I've made friends with quite a few."
And we get, of course, more narration.
"The frost giants, lords of the rime and the cold, scourge of all creatures with warm blood in their veins. They say that once you're close enough to feel their chill, you're already dead and just don't know it."
And we see Thor and the surviving members of the League of Realms facing off against the giants, and we have to be continued. And that is Thor, God of Thunder, number 15. And I do have a few things to say about this issue, of course, but we will hear it right after this message.
The Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, also known as C2E2, is a convention spanning the latest and greatest from the worlds of comics, movies, television, toys, anime, manga, and video games. Bringing the best of popular culture to downtown Chicago on April 25th through 27th, C2E2's show floor is packed with hundreds of exhibitors, panels, guests such as Adam Hughes, Brian Azzarello, Eve Miles, and more, autograph sessions giving fans a chance to interact with their favorite creators, and screening rooms featuring sneak peeks at films and television shows months before they hit either the big or small screen. Join us for the best weekend of the year, April 25th through 27th. For more info, head on over to c2e2.com.
And don't forget, Radio Free Asgard will be at C2E2 in Podcaster's Alley, Table D4. So if you decide to show up at the convention, come stop by, see us. Don't think we're going to have anything special to give away, but hey, you can come see us anyway. All right, so I do have a few things to say about this issue. First of all, I wanted to say that I think the art on this has gotten better every single issue. There is a bit of wonkiness. We've seen that pretty much with every artist that we've had on Thor God of Thunder so far. But I think this Ron Garney is somebody to watch. I really do. Really do enjoy his portrayal, especially of Thor. I think that, you know, he does a good job of differentiating the different worlds that they're in. I think in particular, the land of the giants looks really cool. But I do have one pet peeve that I'll talk about, and I alluded to it earlier. I hate the way Alfheim is portrayed here. I hate it. I despise it. I think it's awful. Jason Aaron, you should be ashamed of yourself. No, Alfheim is not a world of candy canes and gingerbread houses. That's not what Alfheim is. And this is turning it into, you know, I don't know, Mother Goose Land or something. It's not one of the nine realms of the nine realms. That it just isn't. The real nine realms don't have candy canes growing out of the ground. I can see this sort of fairyland working well in a Neil Gaiman story, but not in the nine worlds that make up the Asgardian cosmos. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And it pisses me off how stupid that is. I understand you have to make each land different. I get it. But no, this just this just doesn't belong. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. And you know, if you agree, then great. If you don't agree, well, let us know. You know, you can email the show. We do want to hear from you. Our email address, of course, is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. You can talk about it on Facebook as well. But no, the whole idea of, you know, I like the idea of gnomes and pixies and that sort of thing, the fairy realm. But this is a little bit too Santa Claus and Jolly Green Giant for me. And it just doesn't work. I think that if you're going to have a realm, especially one of the nine realms, the major realms, conceivably a place that we could go back to, it just doesn't work. Anyway, so liking the portrayal of the different characters, I like that we finally heard Augie speak, even if it was just to, you know, a punchline, basically. So we have our first fatality among the League of Realms, and I'm sure that there will be others to come. It just seems to be that kind of a story. The writing is pretty good, though. I mean, I like the kind of dialogue that Thor was having with his hammer. It strategically doesn't make sense, like it was Lady Waziri pointed out. Like Lady Waziri pointed out, it doesn't make a lot of strategic sense to stop and have a drink. But I kind of get Thor's point. I kind of get the idea that he wants these people to bond in some bizarre way, even if it's taking wagers on who's going to sleep with the dark elf chick first. So in a way, it makes sense. Again, like I said, the artwork is really spectacular. Again, it's really colorful. We have a lot of color, and it works. I'm liking the way that the artwork works in here. In fact, I'm going to be looking for original pages of this stuff at C2E2 because this, you know, I wouldn't mind owning a couple pieces of this artwork if it's at all affordable. All right, so that is about it for this episode. Thanks again very much, folks, for listening. I really do appreciate all of your support. And that is it for this week. So once again, we're heading back over the Rainbow Bridge back to Earth. And we will see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is the property of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor, his supporting cast, and the various stories that we feature on the show are copyright Marvel Comics and are presented for review and educational purposes, and we hope you find them entertaining as well. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elvesmith, are copyright Motzvent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll tell your friends, or leave us an iTunes review, or even join our Facebook group. We do love hearing from our listeners. And if you didn't like it, well, oh well, we'll try to do better next time. Once again, thank you very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.